That's Keith, I think. Okay, let's call the meeting to order at 6:03. Wait, we're bringing one thing to Keith. And we will start with item 1.1, the salute to the flag. Welcome, everyone. It's great to see everyone tonight. We are going on to item 1.2, the approval of the agenda for tonight.
I move to approve the agenda.
Okay, motion by Don.
I'll second.
Second by Gilbert. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? None. Passes unanimously. Item 1.3, approval of the minutes for January 18th.
I move to approve the minutes.
Motion by Don.
I second.
Second by Gilbert. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? None. Passes unanimously. On to regular reports. 2.1. Alec.
Hi there. Welcome. I don't have too much to report, but I do want to send out a special thank you from HTA to the superintendent and to Joyce for your budget meetings that you're doing at each of our school sites. They are going a long way to informing everybody about what's going on with the district and what the discussions we're having here at the board meetings you all are having. And they're helping to dispel lots of rumors going around and things like that too. So I just wanted to extend a thank you for all of that. And things are going along very well with HTA right now.
Terrific, thank you so much. Item 2.2, CSEAD.
We went to echo that same thank you so much. For I know you're not doing these meetings in your spare time, and we really do appreciate it because it does help people be able to talk about things in a realistic way instead of a terrified way, and especially at the classified level, that people expect to see jobs get cut more than at other levels, and you've done a great job of giving us a way to think about cuts in the best way possible. So thank you very, very much. Otherwise, we're just kind of in a rhythm. I think the classified staff is in a rhythm moving forward in the year. And now that Valentine's is over, we're going to all head towards spring break.
Thank you, Dee. Item 2.3, APG, Marianne.
Thank you. On APG's end, we've been working on nominations. This is Courtney Bocci and I as past president. We've been working on nominations for next year's APG board, and we're hopefully meeting next week to discuss. Aside from that, we are also wrapping up our nominations for COY CCA today. So, and I have Dawn's blessing on this, it's okay to submit nominations. It's okay. We will still be celebrating him for the rest of the year. So, but if you haven't done it yet, please do that today. We'd love to get as many nominations as we possibly can. And then on the school side, another thing is IDEA wants to join APG. So we're in the process of talking that through with IDEA and letting them know, you know, what's entailed in being part of APG, but we're excited to potentially have a new group join us. That being said, now we're getting more interest as well from service learning. So we'll see how big APG grows, but it's good. You know, people are excited. They want to be a part of the associated parents groups, and we're happy for that. And then just on school sides, Crocker is thinking about adding Constella to their communications platform, which is really nice because all the elementary schools do it, and it's a great way of communicating with parents. Crocker kind of lacks that right now, so they're thinking about adding that. And then all the schools are looking into kind of updating their bylaws, which I think is great, means that people are interested and they want to make sure everything's up to date so they can, you know, use best practices. And that wraps it up for APG.
Thank you so much, and thank you for the delicious dinner. Okay, item 2.4, HSF. Amy.
So HSF is moving ahead quite well with our annual giving campaign. We are still in motion, moving that forward. We're very excited that South and West have both reached 80% participation, which means 80% of the families have donated to support our schools, which is terrific. And we're keeping with our North and Crocker families as well. They're moving right up the ladder, so we'll keep you posted on where that ends up as the year continues. And we're also moving toward our dinner dance, which is our major annual fundraiser, which most of you, all of you, are familiar with. light up the night. You've probably seen the banners. It's exciting. And we have a pre-party, which I hope everyone will consider joining us for a little bit of a higher ticket price. There'll be private tastings of a variety of different activities and a celebrity chef. You may remember someone from a TV show called Yan Can Cook. Martin Yan will be joining us. And we get to taste his food that night if you join us for that higher ticket price. So we would be thrilled to have everyone there. And we obviously want our educators to be part of this. So we have a lottery that they can join, going on to connecting with Leisha Cero to getting into the lottery so they can join us for the party as well. So please, please plan to do that. And we're just getting ready to continue finalizing some details with how we are doing on these special donations at 80%. We'll be going to the school sites and delivering green balls and playground equipment for making those numbers pretty soon. So watch for that. And that's where we are.
Wow, amazing. You all are busy. Thank you so much for all that you do. And item 2.5, Luann.
All righty. Attached to the, let me back up a second. I just want to thank Dee and Alec because it's really, it's just great to hear that feedback. And Joyce and I, and the board, we all feel it's just so important for everyone to have an understanding of where we are with the budget. And all of you get to hear it and understand it, but yet folks on the ground out there don't necessarily. So we just, I'm thankful that it's been well received. So thank you. Measure H, so attached to my superintendent agenda item is a Measure H update. So we plan on doing that on the months when we don't have a presentation on Measure H, and we also have a web page on our district website where all of the newsletters will be so people can get regular updates on Measure H. So a couple of things, we're excited about our Quick Start projects. Maureen and Tracy have been doing incredible work around presentation systems in the classroom, and we've settled on a certain model and a certain type, and so they're going to be working with Eric so that we can get ordering underway and get those into our classroom. So just a shout out to Tracy and Maureen. It takes a long time to get these things done, so thank you, thank you. And working on the implementation plan, Eric Van Pelt, he will be here in March to share with the board the implementation plan. And we're excited about the work that will go on this summer. We've got a lot of work in store for South, working on the pod and rugs and colors and paints and all kinds of things. So that is the update there. A little bit of the Citizens Oversight Committee, and Joyce is going to give an update on that when her item comes up. The other thing is just sharing again, as I spoke to Dee and Alec, was the staff budget meeting. So we've met with each of our staffs. We've had four meetings, and just updating them on information that we share here with the board. And I think it's been really helpful because what's most helpful to us is the questions that get asked and the thinking. Like, have we thought about this or what about that? And that helps us think through ways that we can also save funds and just be thoughtful about reducing our deficit spending. So that's been helpful. And then just a shout out to events that went on the last couple of weeks. Crocker had their science fair, South had a STEAM fair, North had their talent show. And it's organized chaos, and it's great. It's like having all those presentations in the Crocker Library and then in the multi-purpose room at South and then the North talent show. I still have a smile on my face. It is like an adventure. And, you know, they're kind enough to give me a front row seat, and those kids just rock it. They are so good. I must have sent my family 100 different photos and videos because they were so good. Anyway, thank you very much. I know those things take a lot of time and effort from the staff, the parents, our administrators. They're big projects, so thank you, and they've been super fun. And then we had our Grow Kindness Week, and Christy Nias, just rock star, is writing an article for Hillsborough Living, just sharing what each of our school sites have done to grow kindness, Grow Kindness Week. And what I love is that there were authentic projects from every school site, depending on what they were passionate about. And whether it was reaching out to veterans or to senior citizens or reaching out to friends in need, everybody did something a little bit different. And it was just really well received. And the photos were fantastic. And I feel that service learning is taking on this responsibility, and that's probably why they're going to APG and wanting to be a member. So really wonderful. And then also Conference Week, that just, you know, ended just a bit ago. And thank you to our parents for the incredible food and love that was provided to each of our school sites. Those are really exhausting days for our educators. And even though they're half days, they're full days for our educators, and they really want to do their best job in presenting to parents and getting feedback and all of that. So just thank you to everybody for those conference weeks. And then this is our assessed property value. We've been pretty flat the last three measures. We're still doing okay. It's the purple line. It's the one below the rocking yellow line that was last year. So it's lower than it was last year, 5.07, but hopefully we're on an upward trajectory. So that's good news too. And that's it.
Do any trustees or members of the public have questions or comments on the regular reports? Kim.
Just to piggyback on your comments about Grow Kindness and the service learning, it was remarkable. This was our first district-wide service learning collaborative project. So each school has been doing their own work, and this was the first time that as a district we worked together on it. It was really a great week.
Any members of the public, questions, comments? I will say I enjoyed both the Crocker Science Fair and the South STEAM Expo, and especially at South, the project that got a lot of notice was there were three boys, and they parked themselves outside of South, and they were looking at how many people rolled through the stop sign versus stop. And the amount of revenue that they told HPT that they could get if they started ticketing was unbelievable. And I think town council wants them to come present. And HPT actually came to the STEAM Expo, so that was really great.
It was great. The kids were like hiding in the bushes and literally counting cars that were semi-stopping, not stopping, or fully stopping. And I think it was only like 15 or 18% maybe that actually fully stopped.
Yes.
Corner of El Cerrito and... what was it? Poet.
Yeah. And even the TKers had a project.
Yes,
that
they
was
did.
Yeah, that was adorable. Yes.
Fantastic.
Okay, let's go on to current business. Item 3.1, resolution 2023-1, establishing a Citizens Bond Oversight Committee. Joyce.
Hi. The board previously established and appointed independent citizens bond oversight committee for the Measure B bond that was approved in November 2002. And the committee has served the district for long and well. And along the process, we had a committee members who left and the new members came in. At last board meeting, I think we had just added two new members. This resolution 2023-01 will authorize the district to have the existing CBOC members continue to serve on the current measure bond and or future measure bond. So I just recommend the board approve this resolution.
Do any trustees have questions? Do any members of the public have questions or comments? If not, do I hear a motion?
I move to approve resolution 2023-01, authorizing the existing CBOC constitutes the CBOC for all current and future bond measures, including the 2022 bond measure.
Great.
Second.
Motion by Gilbert, second by Don. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? None. Passes unanimously.
Thank you.
Okay, item 3.2, resolution 2023-02, authorizing the issuance and sale of refunding GEO bonds and approving all related documents and actions. Luann.
There we go. Thank you. So I'd like to introduce up at the podium here Courtney Jones from Jones Hall. They work with us. They are our bond attorneys. And then Makiko Sato. And she is from ISIM Advisors. And the idea here, and they're going to give a presentation on the possible refunding of our general obligation bonds from Measure B. And so there's a lot of logistics and a lot of information here, so I'm going to let them kind of take the lead. And, of course, our trustees can ask questions along the way here. But again, this is a way, in the end, to save our taxpayers money. So that's why we're moving forward with possibly refunding these general obligation bonds. So, Courtney, I'll let you start.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good evening, President of the Board, members of the Board. Courtney Jones with Jones Hall, and we are serving as the district's legal counsel in connection with this item before you tonight. I can summarize the legal aspects of this. As mentioned previously, this is a refunding opportunity. The district's financing team, including its financial advisor and bond underwriter, has identified an opportunity to refinance some outstanding general obligation bonds, which were originally issued pursuant to voter authorization for savings pursuant to the provisions of the California Government Code. This is very similar refinancing structure that's been presented to the board in previous meetings and for previous refundings. There is a slightly different aspect to this in that the refunding candidates, the prior bonds that are outstanding, are not in a current call window. So the approach proposed is that the underwriters will be engaged to go out and solicit holders of the bonds who they believe have interest in surrendering those bonds, which will generate savings for the district and its taxpayers. So this financing has two phases, really, where Raymond James is engaged to go out and try to contact existing bondholders. And when those figures are identified, those persons or investors, then we will then price refunding bonds. The proceeds of the refunding bonds will be used to repurchase those bonds, and then those will take the place of those bonds that have been repurchased. And in accordance with all state law requirements, there must be savings. And I will defer to Mikiko Sato to discuss what is expected in terms of savings. And of course, the final maturity, the term those bonds are outstanding, cannot be extended under state law. So the resolution before you tonight really gives the district staff members authority to proceed with the assistance of the financing team with this refinancing plan. It approves several documents, a bond purchase agreement, an official statement, which is an offering prospectus, and also a holder purchase agreement and an agent agreement with Raymond James. So there's a few documents here. They're on file with you. They do have some blanks because we are still, we'll fill those in as the financing is authorized and then becomes more of the facts become more certain. As Raymond James can first go out and begin talking with investors. And as a final note, I will note that the final page of the resolution under state law, which was enacted a couple of years ago, it is required that the board be presented with certain details regarding the expectations of any financing. And in this case, those are set forth on B1 regarding the estimated costs that may be associated with the financing based on certain assumptions, as well as the amount of proceeds that will be received and available to cancel those prior bonds. So I will now, I'm happy to answer questions after Mikiko speaks or now if there are any that would like to be posed.
Okay, great. Thank you very much, Courtney. So as Courtney mentioned, this is a refunding transaction intended to generate savings for taxpayers, but there is this feature that is a little bit different from our standard refundings in that Raymond James, our tender agent, will go out to existing holders and purchase back outstanding bonds at a significant discount to the face value of the par amount. And that is driving the savings to taxpayers. And it's a very unique situation because of the interest rate environment we are in. But because of this circumstance of where we're asking investors to, for the district to repurchase their bonds, there is some unknown about how many investors would be interested in selling their bonds back to the district. And so what we did in terms of the good faith estimates was we assumed that 100% of the investors holding the district's capital appreciation bonds from that prior refunding would be interested in selling their bonds back to the district. We thought that would be the most conservative estimate to provide to the board, since that has the highest cost estimates and the highest debt service estimates that we can present as part of the good faith estimates. But it is likely, you know, looking at nationwide trends, it is usually about 25% of bondholders are willing to sell their bond back, you know, have the districts purchase back their bonds. And so with the 25% participation, we're estimating savings around $3 million for district taxpayers. But we also understand that the district would like to set a savings threshold of $1 million to make sure that, you know, even if the bond sizing goes down significantly, we don't want to move forward with the transaction unless we're seeing a significant amount of savings for district taxpayers. So I'll pause there to see if there are any questions.
Gilbert.
How much time is left until maturity, the bonds that you're repurchasing?
Oh, that's a great question. Let me look it up. It depends on the maturity. So we are looking at hopefully, possibly repurchasing bonds with maturities from 2031 to 2040. And just to be clear, we would be issuing refunding bonds to generate the proceeds to repurchase those bonds. So there'll be other outstanding bonds that will be issued as part of this process, like a typical refunding bond issuance.
And what's the period of the new bonds that are being funded?
It would be the same term.
Okay, all right, so there's no change on that side.
Just
okay.
That the debt service would be lower for taxpayers.
All right, very good, thank you.
Gray?
I don't know which of you would like to do this, but I'm looking at Appendix B1, the page that was referred to, and if someone could just walk me through number 2 and number 3 and how that does or does not all add up.
Yeah, we were talking about how this was displayed. Talking clearly enough into this.
Yeah.
And so what is listed under the finance charge under number 2 is the standard cost associated with issuing the refunding bonds. So the upfront cost of issuance of $325,000 plus an estimated underwriter's compensation of $212,760 for a total of $537,760. So in 3, the proceeds of the refunding bonds also that is where the fee due to the agent for the tendering services are included. And so we were discussing whether that was, this is the best and clearest way to display this, but we were hoping to be as transparent as possible in terms of listing out the separate costs.
So do I add 2 and 3, or are they one subsumed within the other?
You would be able to add 2 and 3 in terms of figuring out the total cost of issuance.
So
the 415 plus the 537.
So just under $1 million?
Yeah.
Okay.
But all the savings figures that we've discussed already factor that into account.
Thank you.
Great. I do want to mention that the cost would be lower because rating fees would be lower, and I believe bond council fees may be lower if the amount of the refunding bonds is smaller.
I just have a question, Makiko. So the approximately $900,000 cost that doesn't come, I get it comes out of the bond proceeds, mm-hmm. and that is still with $1 million savings to the community?
That's correct.
Okay, I just wanted to clarify that. So if there was a, sorry, just an add-on question. If there was a $3 million savings, let's just say we had, I don't know, 50%, whatever it may be, it's still approximately $1 million in cost, but it's $3 million savings to the taxpayer.
That's correct, yeah. And I think the more accurate way to say it is if the size of the bonds go down significantly, the costs are likely to be lower as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you might note that the costs in item 2, the really depend on how much participation there is. It really will vary for the the fee, and I'm sorry, on Appendix B, Section 3, the 415, that assumes a $42 million deal. Did it assume 100% participation?
Yeah, for...
Okay, yeah, no. So...
Like capital appreciation.
Yeah, so that was the most, you know, optimistic level of participation, but that will vary depending on who actually participates.
I had a question. It just seems like a very uncertain economic time to be doing this. Are there other school districts that are refinancing bonds right now that are being successful? I just don't understand why this is a good time.
Yeah, so that's actually kind of a very interesting question, because it's really a technical answer. It's the relationship between the treasury rates and the tax exempt rates. And so as you likely have been seeing in the news, treasury rates have been increasing significantly, but because of the low supply of municipal bonds being issued currently, the tax exempt rate is relatively low compared to the taxable rate. So the bond price that the investors are looking at is determined based on the treasury rate. So in order to determine the bond price, you discount future cash flows by the treasury rate, and there's an inverse relationship. And so because the treasury rate is so high, the bond prices are so low, whereas the municipal rates are relatively low. So that's what's generating the savings on this. So it's different from our traditional refunding from that perspective. It's this unique interest rate environment. Because of the higher treasury rates is what is actually driving the savings on this. So I know that's a lot to explain in this context, but it's a very unique circumstance.
So do you know of any other school districts that are doing this?
Yes, we're working with a number of other school districts on it. Doing similar financings.
Okay, and then I just had two technical things on the preliminary official statement on A2. We need to update our terms. We just were reelected, Dawn Gilbert and myself, so those were incorrect. And on page 27, you have the Carolins as the biggest taxpayer in Hillsborough, and that actually may change.
I don't know if they're still the
I would do some research before publishing
that. We've ordered the updated tax base information for 2022-23, and unfortunately hasn't quite gotten to us, but it will definitely be updated by the time that document is distributed to investors. I also wanted to mention that if the market changes and it is no longer to the district's advantage to move forward with this refunding, we will work with district staff to pull it. So I did want to mention that in terms of whether this is a good time or not.
Okay. We have a lot of other questions.
Okay.
Don, do you want to start?
Yeah. I kind of wanted actually to respond to you, and even though I'm not one of the subject matter experts, so maybe I can express what I think I learned in my own language, and you can correct me if I make a mistake. Just to set the context here, Greg, Dennis, and I are on the subcommittee that was in bond finance, so we've had our own separate meetings from these board meetings to discuss this particular topic. And for me, I had the same initial reaction that you did. What is this all about? Why is this now the right time to do anything? Greg Isom explained some of the background about to help me understand why we're looking into this. And I'll try to repeat what I think I understood, and then you guys can tell me if I make a mistake. So we had some original bonds in 2002. And then we already did this a few years ago, refunded them, right? So we did a refunding to save the taxpayers. And again, just for context, this doesn't help this district at all directly. This is something that the taxpayers owe to the market, and they're going to continue to owe it, and we just have the authority to help the taxpayers save some money. But it doesn't save the district any money at all. It has no effect on the general fund. And all of the fees come out of the savings to the taxpayers. So it really has no effect on this district directly at all. So we already did a refunding. Right, and we did that because interest rates changed, and we originally had them higher, and they became lower or something, so we could do some. This is a very different product that is at a weird time in the market. And so we could force refunding. We were able to choose to repay early all of the bonds, and we did that by issuing new bonds that were cheaper. That's not what's happening here at all. What's happening here is that our subject matter experts have noticed in the market out there that people who own the existing bonds have been selling them at a discount. And the reason they've been selling them is because they're relatively low interest rates, and interest rates have gone up recently, and they think they can make more money if they invest it in a better investment product. And so they've been dumping our existing bonds at below par value, below the official value. So they just noticed that happening. And they said, well, if those people really want to do that, then we can help them do that. We can buy it from them if they really want to sell them at a discount. So Greg was mentioning some numbers like if it's officially worth a dollar over the next 20 years, you can offer to buy it from them for 75 cents or 70 cents. And we're not sure how that's going to come out. That's why all these numbers are pretty ambiguous. So they're going to offer, now that they see that some people have started to sell it, they're going to offer, hey, the rest of you, if we give you a little premium, maybe if you're selling them at 72 cents and we offer you 79 cents, maybe you'll sell it to us. And how do you afford that? Is by issuing new bonds. But why is that a good idea? There was another change, and again, you'll correct me if I make a mistake here, but the bonds we're refunding are not tax exempt. Mm-hmm. So they were originally tax exempt, then we replaced those with ones that were taxable bonds, and now we have an opportunity to do tax exempt ones again in the same series. And in that conversion, for whatever it's worth, seems to be of value to the investors. So we're gonna, and it doesn't have to be the same investors. We can buy them from the people who currently own our current bonds and sell new ones to someone else. It may be the same, it may be different. That's way beyond my pay grade to understand why anyone wants to do this. But what they're telling us is there are people who want to do both sides of this, and you can basically arbitrage it if you do it now. And you ask who else is doing it. It seems to be a relatively new idea. I think Santa Monica was the big district that is doing it at a very much larger scale than we are, and they're ahead of us. But out of the next 50 districts that might be in a position to take advantage of this, we're one of the first next ones. And one of the ideas is if you want to try this, maybe try it quickly, because everyone who owns the bonds is going to start selling them. And after a while, they'll start, the people who really were eager to sell them will have done so. And the rest of the people will be asking for more and more money to make this kind of a transaction. So Greg Isom came to us and said, hey, we have this random idea. If you guys want to do it, maybe you can save some money. And that's kind of where we are. As far as we can tell, it's just a net benefit to the taxpayers of Hillsborough that we can. But I don't know the details of why an investor would want to do any of those pieces. They just tell us that people do.
Thanks, Don. That was a very good explanation. Did you all want to add anything? Or
I think the one thing I wanted to add was, you know, as consultants, we cannot go talk to your existing investors until the board gives us authorization. So it would be great if we said we talk to these five people and they want to, you know, yeah, we have the district purchase your bonds. That would be great. But, you know, I apologize for some of the uncertainty, but we just can't have those conversations without the board's approval. So I know there is some unknowns in terms of how many investors are, you know, interested, but that's just how the
And just,
what we're
just to follow into that comment, Greg Dennis and I had this conversation about there really are these two parts. One is asking the board giving authorization to look into it, and the second is giving authorization to actually complete the sales.
Right.
And we could have separated those. But in terms of the timing and all the rest and what those conversations are actually like, it seemed best to just do it all at once. If you're going to do this project, just let the people who know what they're doing do their jobs. And so we're kind of combining them to the details aren't set, and yet we're giving sort of final authorization to complete it. And in other circumstances, you might separate those. You might say, figure out all the details first, and then we'll decide whether to do it or not. And we have chosen not to do it, not to separate
it. There's a savings. Go ahead.
Yeah.
I do want to, that you are not authorizing us, but you're authorizing the district staff to complete
right.
the transaction. So I didn't want to make
Thank
that
you.
Clarification.
Thank you, yes. Right. Luann can always reject it at the last second.
Yes.
Thanks, Don. Gilbert?
I noticed in the document there's a category of capital appreciation bonds as well as current interest bonds.
Yes.
I'm not a very technical financial person, but do you have a sense for what is the percentage relative to this group of bonds you're selling? What is the ratio? Is it retiring all our CABs or is it some of them or?
So when we put together the good faith estimates, we assume that the entire issuance of the refunding bonds would be capital appreciation bonds. And we did that because we wanted to present the board with the most, those tend to be a little bit higher in terms of borrowing rates, so we wanted to show the board a conservative figure. We are hoping to be able to include some current interest bonds to lower the true interest cost on the refunding bonds, but it currently based the good faith estimates are based on 100% capital appreciation bonds. Okay,
great. Thank you. Very useful.
Greg?
Just to complete the picture, could you describe very briefly, once we take action tonight, assuming we do what we're being asked to do, what's the sequence of events and what's the timeline? And I know it's an estimate, but I mean, is something going to happen within a week, a month, 2 months?
Sure. So I think it's, I would describe it as being bifurcated. One side would be your pre-standard refunding bond issuance. We are looking to go to the rating agencies in early March, and assuming that the investors, there are investors who want to sell back their bonds to the district, price in mid-March and close in early April. On the other hand, the tender agent will start conversations with investors, you know, soon after this board approval to get interest from existing investors. We will work with them to make sure that their offer is advantageous to the district. From there, Courtney, maybe I should turn it over to you. When would they finalize the repurchase from the investors?
When there's enough certainty, the investors will agree for a finite period that's established by the underwriter, Raymond James. And there will be several, once they negotiate a price with the oversight of your fiduciaries, then there will be several agreements executed. And then we'll start marketing the bonds to raise the money, because in order to buy those bonds back, we need to issue, the district needs to issue the refunding bonds. So then we'll do the offering prospectus, stop solicitation at whatever point they deem it's probably, you know, enough interest. And then we'll be able to price the refunding bonds, set a closing date where everything will settle simultaneously. Those prior bonds will be surrendered and canceled, and then the refunding bonds will take their place.
Thank you.
I have one more question. With the issuance of the refunding bonds, will that affect our bonding capacity? Since it's Measure B.
Yeah, that's a great question. I actually spoke about it with Greg Isom earlier today, because one of the pluses of this plan is that the district will be bringing in bonds that have a higher par amount and replacing them with bonds with a, getting them at a reduced price, which means that they can issue a lower par amount of bonds. So in fact, this could present the district with the opportunity to, you know, get a little more room under its bonding capacity threshold.
Okay, great. Any other questions, trustees? Any questions or comments from members of the public? Okay, this is an action item. Are there any more questions? Do I hear a motion?
Yeah, I will move to approve resolution 2023-02, authorizing the issuance and sale of refunding GO bonds.
I'll second.
Motion by Don, second by Gilbert. All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? None. Passes unanimously. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you
both.
Okay, on to item 3.3, Expanded Learning Opportunities Program Plan 2022-23 update, Maureen and Joyce.
Thank you. So last year, around this time, actually in January, we came to you with our plan for the Expanding Learning Opportunities, which was part of AB 130. And at this point, we, you know, part of the plan is to provide a annual update, and that's what we're doing today. So just, we started with the offering the Expanded Learning Opportunities last year, We started in February, and we partnered with Recreation's Hive because through the expanded learning opportunities, we need to offer 9 hours of learning opportunities to students who are unduplicated. And unduplicated students are either homeless, foster youth, English learners, or they receive free and reduced lunch through the federal government. So we have 41 students that are eligible for ELOP, and we currently this year have 20 that are participating. And last year for our funding, we received $50,000 from the state. And this year we are projecting to receive about $72,000. And now that we've gone 1 year through, because in addition to providing the 9 hours during the school year, we also have to provide 30 days of 9 hours over summer. So students participate in the recreation summer school and then Hive activities to, you know, extend into the 9 hours. And then since summer school is only 20 days, they do 2 weeks of the Hive camp. And so in figuring out the costs, it's actually $9,000 per student for the entire year. And in working with Recreation has given us a 25% discount, which brings the per student cost down to $6,800. And so we definitely are spending a lot more than the state is providing for the ELOP program. So as part of AB 130, it does allow us to charge fees for the expanded learning opportunities to English, those who are eligible for the ELOP program as English learners. So in looking at our numbers, we felt that it would be good for us to charge fees for the English learners. And of the 20 that are currently participating, we have 7 students that are eligible only via EL. And so what we are going to do is we are going to start at March 1st, and we're going to be providing them a 10% discount. So their fee will be 90% of what, you know, we are paying Recreation. And that will help us. It probably will not get us to even in terms of what we are being provided by the state, but it will get us a little bit out of the red, because at this point we're projecting really from, you know, we started last February, and then through this summer we're projecting to be about $62,000 in the red. And so we think that charging the fees to the students who are EL will help us bridge that gap a little bit. So that is our update.
Are there any questions from the trustees? Gilbert.
In terms of the adjusted, the 90% number you mentioned, is that a number you're going to revisit every year? Is it indexed, or how is that approach going to be?
I think it's, you know, something we'll definitely have to reevaluate. Again, right now we only have 50% of students who are eligible participating. So, you know, we may need to look at that. If, you know, funding were to change and we could cover the full cost, that would be something we would have to look at. If funding from the state reduces, there's not much more we could reduce. You know, so, but I think, you know, as part of our annual update, we should look at that also. Okay,
great, thank you.
Greg.
So, Maureen, to make sure I understand here, where'd it go? So we reduced the 6804 by 10%.
By 90%.
Oh, we reduce it by 90%.
Right, right. So families will pay 90% of the cost for Hive, and the district will be giving them a 10% discount. The cost we receive from REC is lower than the REC gives us a little bit of a bulk discount already.
Okay, is the calculation on this page of how much revenue we will generate from the discounted fees for those seven students?
I don't believe the Joyce, correct me if I'm wrong, but in this, we have not taken into consideration the discounted fees, because at this point, the families that are EL are having the choice as to whether or not they want to continue with the participation. Okay. So some of them may choose not to continue.
Do we know what the ballpark would be if all seven participated at that discounted rate?
If I did, you know, seven times 5,000, right? It's 6,800, so that's way over. But it could be potentially, 35,000 plus.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Any other trustee questions? I had a question. Do those seven families, have they had any heads up about this or any preliminary conversations?
Yes. So the unduplicated count is based on census day, which is in October. So we really don't have sort of the official who's participating until, you know, October. So sort of the year starts late and ends late, if that makes sense. So in December, end of November, when we were communicating with families, we did let them know that through AB 130, we can offer fees or charge fees to the EL students. We didn't have a idea of what we were going to charge in fees at that point, but we did let them know that we are looking at it. And at this point, I've talked to Recreation, and I have not heard from any families after I have emailed them, and they also have not.
Okay, thanks, Maureen. Any other questions from the trustees? Any questions or comments from members of the public? This is an action item.
It's actually just an update.
Oh, it's just an update?
Yep.
Thank you for the update, Maureen. To item 4.0, the consent agenda. Would any trustee like to pull any item? Kim?
I'd like to pull item 4.8, school plan for student achievement.
Okay, we're going to pull item 4.8. Is there a motion to approve 4.1 through 4.7 and 4.9? Of the consent agenda. I move to approve 4.1 through 4.7 and 4.9. Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Okay, motion by Ann, second by Gilbert. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? None. Passes unanimously. And Kim, you have the floor for 4.8.
Thank you. I just wanted to recognize our principals and their site councils for the work on the SIP says, many of us served on site council back in the day and recognize the work that goes into these plans. I read them all, and what I think I've said this before, that the plans are like a story of what's happening at each school site. And what I noticed is how well aligned they are. Like, everyone's rowing in the same direction. And I think that's credit to Matthew and Bhavna and Luann for focusing our compass and really having clear goals and priorities. And I wanted to specifically call out Crocker, your science goal, and how, like, all the strategies are really collaborative, like working with other districts and with the county to help build our science muscles. And at the elementary sites, the reading goals are like, there are so many action items, so many strategies you're deploying to support our readers. I loved how you incorporated our instructional coaches into your goals and action items. And also, I was impressed at how you pulled data from the DESA mini screener to really create strategic goals for social emotional learning and addressing the needs of our students. So kudos to you, and thank you.
That's it. Yes. Thank you, Kim. This is a very heavily weighted site council board. I think all of us except maybe one participated. So we remember those days of putting the plan together. It's a lot of work. And now the fun begins. I always had that sense of relief when you got through doing the plan, because it's so much energy. And I loved the meetings that kind of bubbled up from that. So thank you, everyone, for your work on that. So, Kim, is there a motion?
I move to approve consent agenda 4.8, school plan for student achievement for 2022-23.
Second.
Motion by Kim, second by Don. All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? None. Passes unanimously. Great. Item 5.0, public comments for items not on the agenda. Any public comments? Seeing none. Item 6, communications and board item discussions. 6.1 is the 2023 CSBA delegate assembly ballot. We just need to vote on the delegates. Did the trustees have a chance to take a look at those? I think we know at least two out of the three.
Isn't it three votes and three delegates? Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I know it's not tough, but just in case, just checking. Do you want to move, Don, that we approve them then?
No.
No.
It feels very symbolic, to be honest. Like, we are not actually making any choices.
Okay, but we have to vote on it. So I move that we approve. I move that we approve the CSBA delegate assembly ballot.
I'll second.
Okay. Motion by Ann, second by Gilbert. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? None. Passes unanimously.
Do we need to take a roll call?
No, but did you, how are you filling out the ballot that you just approved?
We check them all off.
You don't have to, but I just want to be clear. You want to check all three names off. You said you knew two of them. You could submit a ballot with only two.
Yeah.
Yeah, but your motion was all three, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I just want to clarify. Thank you.
I know. Okay, Don, I have some updates on CSBA. But first, we were holding March 23rd for a get-together. We're going to postpone that for now. So for leadership and trustees, you can take that off your calendar. On February 27th from 6 to 8, SMC SBA is having dinner at Cañada College on educational equity. So if you haven't gotten that that email, you can sign up. I am going. On February 25th, the Santa Clara School Board Association is having a legislative session. You can join by Zoom or in person at the Stanford Research Hub. And Linda Darling-Hammond is one of the speakers. It's
what was the date again on that one?
25th. February 25th is very soon, 8:30 to noon. Zoom is $10, in person is $40. And I'm sure you can get that link through the San Mateo CSBA site. And then if you haven't already, the Legislative Action Week for CSBA is March 14th through 16th. They will tell us at the last minute when we have the appointments with our legislators. It's all virtual, so if you all want to sign up, that would be great. And today, San Mateo County Office of Education announced a webinar with Fiona Ma on February 28th at 6 o'clock on the Kids Care, that fund. I don't think it's crucial for any of us to log in, but I just wanted to let you know that that is happening as well. Any other calendar updates or information? No? Okay, item 7.0, public comments concerning closed session items. Any public comments? And we're adjourned at 6:56.